few announcements we'll make as we get started today. We'd like to find out who is in worship, members and guests. We invite you to fill out the pew pad that you find on the inside aisle of every pew. We ask for you to write your name down, give us any contact information you choose, and then check the correct boxes. This helps us find out who is in worship. We ask members and guests to do that. So once you're done, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. Once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, when it gets back to that very first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. A few announcements that you'll find in the upcoming events section of the bulletin, as well as opportunities for the week. One adjustment to the worship service today. There will be no children's time today, so just make note of that. No children's time. Also, this Wednesday is the last in our summer series, the Forgotten God Study. We will be having a cookout at 6:30, followed by that last session of the Forgotten God Study. There will be no preschoolers or children programming this week, so the families will all be together starting at 6:30. This Wednesday night. Then we'll take a week off on the 24th, and then we'll be back into school. Teachers, moan. And to our normal school year programming. So several announcements there listed about that. I want you to make note of those. Reminder to our family ministry team, we are meeting today at noon in Smith Hall. Anything else? Isn't it good to be together? We're especially thankful for our guests this morning. We are blessed by your presence. We'd like to have something we'd like to give to you, so we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest with us, just raise your hand right where you are. You've given us your information on the pew pad, and we appreciate that. We'd like to give something to you. So just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you for your presence this day. It's a good day to be together. When it's time for baptism and communion, especially baptism, I'm often reminded of my own baptism. Do you remember yours? I mean, those are one of those moments that you just don't forget. It's that moment when you identify with thousands of years of Christian history. Christians down through the centuries who have done the very same thing. It is a very significant moment. And so as we go into this time of worship, thank God for that moment you were baptized. And for all that it meant. And for all that it reminds us of, the new start that Christ gives us, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing, that's why we come to worship. For what baptism reminds us of what Jesus did and what God provided. That's why we worship. That's why we get together week in and week out. That's why we worship wherever we go. To live a life of thankfulness. Let us prepare to worship.
Yeah.
Pray with me. There will be joy. That knowing deep inside that no matter what happens in this earth, that everything is good. That God, you are on your throne. You have provided a way for us to return to you. This is joy. Being content despite our circumstances. Living a life of thanksgiving. This is joy. And so, Father, we come into this time of worship needing to hear from you, needing for our heart to cry out, hallelujah and glory to your name. As we come to celebrate this morning, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Days like today are some of the most memorable and most enjoyable in a pastor's life because we come to celebrate. We come to celebrate a journey because each of us, from the time we're born, we're on a journey and a spiritual journey. And there are a lot of people that contribute to that journey. And so we celebrate kind of a crossroads for three young ladies this morning because they're coming to let you know that they've prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they want to be obedient into baptism, just as our Lord submitted to the Father's will through baptism, began a public ministry. These girls want to let you know that they are doing the same thing. So I want to ask Reese Alexander if you would join me. Can y'all see Reese okay? Yeah, I think they can. This is Reese Alexander, and I want to invite her family, as well as all those who've been a part of her Christian pilgrimage through discipleship or Sunday school or choirs, any capacity whatsoever, missions organization. If you would, please join family in standing right now. All right. And I think your mom is going to have a few words of encouragement for you, Reese. Y'all remain standing, please. Y'all remain standing. Good. Thank you.
Reese, I have in my hand, it's the picture that we used from your birth announcement that we sent a little over 8 years ago. And at the top of your birth announcement, we quoted a Bible verse from James chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, every good and perfect gift is from above. And that verse sums up perfectly how Daddy and I feel about both you and Wilson. And you are both God's gifts to us, and we are so thankful. And we are also so thankful when last year you decided to receive God's gift to you by accepting Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. And it's the best decision that you will ever make. And we're equally as proud of you today and over these last few months as you've kind of been nervous about getting baptized and making that decision public to being so excited about it. And it's been so neat to see how you have become so excited about it. And even when we were at the beach a couple months ago and you decided that you were ready and you could not wait to get home and you could not wait to call Raymond. So you texted him Friday night at the beach to let him know that you wanted to get baptized. And we are happy to celebrate with you today. The Bible also tells us that when we become a Christian, we receive spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says that God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. And we've already seen this in you, Reese. The two gifts that immediately came to our minds already, and just the little things that you do, are your gifts of encouragement and mercy. It's just in your relationships with your friends, with your family, just the little things that you do. Like when you tell me, good job for exercising, or when you decide to sit beside a new student at school because you don't want them to feel left out because they don't know anybody yet. Or even more recently, like when you were trying to plan your birthday party last month and you originally wanted to have a sleepover, but you were worried about that some of your friends might not want to spend the night and feel comfortable with that, so you decided not to do a sleepover birthday party. Or just like last year when you won a donut for winning a swim race and you decided that you wanted to share it with your best friend who had also swam a great race just so that she could enjoy one. It's just the little things, and we're so excited that God has already began his good work in you, and we're excited to see what God's going to do in your future. I'd like to leave you with two verses today. The first one is one of your favorites that you've studied a lot this summer through children's camp, and it's 1 Timothy 4:12, and it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And the second verse that I'd like to leave you with is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as you give thanks through him to God the Father. We love you.
Reese, because you publicly accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is a pleasure and an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Your dad's right here, and he's got a candle for you. And I want you to keep that candle as a reminder that Christ has challenged us to let our light shine before men, okay? We have family today. We have a couple sisters that are going to be baptized, not together, but at least in the water at the same time. And they wanted to do this because, you know, as part of the larger family of the body of Christ, that's really important. But family's special, and they made these decisions independent, but they wanted to celebrate together. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful moment for them. I want to invite all of their family, if you would please stand, as well as those who've been a part of their spiritual journeys. thus far for Sydney and Keeley. And if you would remain standing, and I think Leslie is coming. And it's a family affair. We have multiple speakers today.
Okay. Sydney and Keeley, we are so proud of you for the wonderful young women that you have become. And we're very excited about this important step on your journey with your relationship with Christ. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Alexis is going to read another Bible verse, which we felt really captured the importance of your baptism. Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19.
"Pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the saints to grasp how wide and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God."
We love you.
Sydney, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a pleasure and it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Keeley, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a pleasure and it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Erica's got candles that she wants to give each of you. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, it makes our hearts swell. We're excited. We're delighted. Father, we know that lives are changing. And with our young ladies and young men, as they come to know more about you, who you are, and how that kind of works out in their own lives. Father, it's a time to celebrate. It's a time to be excited. Father, we pray for these young ladies, because we know that having made the stand that they have, that Satan doesn't like that, and he will come against them. But we pray that as family, as fellow believers, we will be there to support them, to love them, to encourage them. God, to lift them up, continue to point them to you. God, we pray in our own lives that at those moments when we feel weakest, that you would be most real. At those moments when we doubt, you would remind us that we are truly children of the King. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.
Oh, Jeff said earlier, and it was very appropriate, that the experience of baptism links us with our ancestors and people who have come before us and people who have experienced this same blessing, just as Jesus did when he was baptized by John the Baptist. And our scripture this morning, which comes from Hebrews 11, is about our ancestors of faith and where we have come and what has happened before us. I'll be reading from Hebrews 11, the first 16 verses. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, we're reminded by this scripture in Hebrews. We're reminded by seeing these three young people in the waters of baptism that the place that you've given us here on earth is a place of temporary stay, a place that we've come to live out our earthly lives, a place that we've come to be and experience many great things that you have for us, but a place that will ultimately be like a vacation for us on the way to our eternal home. Lord, thank you for the people that you sent before us and these heroes of faith that we read about in Scripture and that just serve as great examples and great motivators for us in the way that you work in our lives. Thank you for the people who have been important to us as we've walked on our faith journey, the people that talked to us about Jesus Christ, the people that helped us and led us and guided us and shared wisdom with us. Thank you for putting those people in our lives. They've been so important. They've meant so much to us. And you have touched us in special ways through them. And Lord, thank you for the people each and every day that continue to mean so much to us and remind us of how much that you love us. Thank you for Sydney and Keeley and Reese and the way that you're working in their lives. Lord, it's so powerful to see young people committed to you. Young people willing to take a stand with you and to say, I believe in Jesus Christ and this is the way that I want to live my life. Lord, that's a reminder to those of us who are older than them, those who are younger than them, and those who do not know you, but that you're working, I'm sure, in ways to touch their lives in special ways. Lord, there's so many reasons why we're encouraged. We can be discouraged when we look around and if this world is all we have, if the daily life that we experience is all we have, Lord, we're going to be discouraged. Please help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Please help us to remember each and every day that it's the things that we do not see, but that we do believe that will make all the difference in our lives. Lord, bless these three young ladies and all that they have in front of them. I know that you're going to make all the difference in their lives. And help us this week to see this example as one more reason that we need to walk closer with you and to let our faith grow the way that you want it to grow. Lord, we thank you for so much. Thank you for being with us this morning. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross to save us from our sins. We are especially grateful for the new believers who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and who have professed that faith and been baptized in your name. Let all of us be mindful that it is our commission to seek those who are not saved and to help bring them to an understanding of the love of God through Jesus Christ. Give us the faith to understand that when we are sent in your name, we will not fail and that you will guide us in sharing your message of love. Fill us with your Spirit,
make us be persistent in our faith, and keep us faithful to the task. We are grateful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the financial blessings that we have received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
What comes to your mind when I say the word faith? Anything in particular? Pardon? Belief? What else? What comes to your mind when I say the word faith? It's an interesting concept because different people have different ideas about what faith means to them. You know, and when, if you rephrase the question, it kind of comes out this way. How is your faith today? Now don't answer glibly. Let it kind of sink in just for a minute. How is your faith today? Here this morning, in the inner recesses of your soul, how are you? How are you? You see, it's not enough to say, I have faith. It's really not even enough to say, I don't have faith, because in truth, we all live by faith every day, don't we? Let me give you an example. When you get sick, if it's on the weekend, you can't get to your family doctor, so you go someplace to see a doctor that you've probably never met before, maybe not able to pronounce his name or her name, I don't know. And they look at you for 15 or 20 minutes, if you're lucky, and then they write a prescription that you can't read, and they send you to a pharmacy where you may or may not know the pharmacist, and they hand you a bottle that, again, you can't pronounce the drug that you're getting ready to take, and don't look it up on the internet. No, please, don't look that stuff up on the internet. And you take these drugs, and you're assuming you're kind of living by faith that will help you. But in essence, you've really put your life in the hands of several people that you didn't know. So we live by faith every day in something or someone. So the question's a lot bigger maybe than we realize, because you see, some people see faith as propositional. If all goes well, if I'm happy and prosperous, if I'm healthy and hopeful, then maybe I'll be a person of faith. Maybe I'll be that. If God does good for me, then I'll believe in Him. But see, biblical faith doesn't ask if. It doesn't say if. It says though. Though all the forces of evil come against me, I will believe all the more. Though everything goes wrong for me, it seems like, this whole day, this whole week, this whole month, though all of that happens, though Gethsemane and the cross loom before me, I will believe, I will be faithful. Matthew's gospel, Matthew, first of all, you've heard me say before, but the gospel of Matthew was written with kind of a target audience in mind. Matthew was writing to those who were Jewish converts to Christianity. So primarily for those people, they needed to understand that Jesus was the fulfillment of biblical prophecy for the Messiah. And he does it in subtle ways. In many ways, he shows it outright. But in this passage, I'll stop when I get to the point where I want to make that point. But Matthew paints this portrait, this picture of Jesus as the faithful fulfillment of God's plan. Okay, you have to understand that. Jesus is faithful. At all times, Jesus is faithful. Now, those around him, we can't say that for all the time. And Matthew, sometimes he kind of gives us a few tips, because he records things that Jesus said that let us know. For example, in Matthew records where Jesus said, "Look at the flowers and the grass. Nothing even in Solomon's splendor could match their glory. Yet they don't worry. O ye of little faith." He's drawing a contrast there. But then there was faithful. There was a centurion that's recorded where his servant became ill, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, and he looks at him and says, "Lord, help me." You don't even have to come to him. Just speak the words. And Jesus replied to him, "No one in all of Israel has such great faith." The disciples, well, they weren't always quite as faithful. We know their stories and we laugh a little bit, but the disciples were in a boat with Christ, and we know the story well. And they scream out like a bunch of girls, "Lord, we're going to sink," because they're in the midst of a storm. And Jesus looks at her, and he probably just shook his head going, guys, why are you so afraid? Why are you afraid? Why so little faith? And then he says something pretty insightful. He says, "Peace, be still." Now, was he talking to the storm or was he talking to the inner storm in those disciples? I think probably both. And that's a good word for us. Jason told you the story last week of Jesus. Again, the disciples are in a boat and Jesus walks up to them on the water, and Peter initially is able to walk. He takes his eyes off Jesus, as we often do. Let's make it personal. We often do. And when he did, he felt himself sinking, as we often do. And when Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith," we could go, "Well, that's pretty harsh," because at least he had faith to get out of the boat. Well, yeah. Yeah, but the secret was to keep your eyes on Jesus. And Jesus is teaching. He's constantly teaching. There's a story of an unnamed woman who was ill for 12 years. And she reached out. She knew, if I can just touch his garment, that's all it'll take. And Jesus looks at her and says, "Your faith has made you whole." Jesus also said, "Faith, even like the mustard seed, will move the mountains." But in our text this morning, there's a story unlike all the others. And I want to read it to you. If you would take your Bible, Matthew chapter 15. Open with me to Matthew chapter 15. If you have your Bible, if you don't, there should be one there close by in the pew. Matthew chapter 15, just a few verses here, about seven verses from Matthew chapter 15. It's a story of a remarkable woman. And we're going to read it together. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Son of David. She knew who he was. Matthew is letting people know this is who Jesus Christ is. He is the Messiah. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Can you hear the pain in her voice? "My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying after us." Unbelievable. And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is a story of a woman who loves her daughter. She comes to find a cure, and she knew exactly who could do it. "Lord, Son of David, Messiah." She knew exactly. She was a Canaanite woman, and she still knew exactly who Jesus was. She came to him to heal her daughter. She was a Canaanite. She was not a Jew. And her request was very simple: "Help my little girl." And the Lord's response was silence. Now, don't be surprised by that. He was silent a whole lot more often than we are, perhaps. He was silent. In silence, you remember that he watched the treasury when the woman came with her mites to place in there. It was his silence that broke Peter's heart on the night of denial. He stood silent before Herod and Pilate, and he hung on the cross silent while people were hurling insults and blasphemy. He was silent. The disciples? No. They had to say something. They had to whine. And very predictably, they came up, "Send her away, Lord, she's whining, and we don't like that. Send her away, she keeps bugging us. She keeps calling after us. She keeps bugging us." And you know, this really shouldn't be a surprise. Remember when the children came to Jesus? What did the disciples do? "Send them away, send them away. Don't bother the master with the children." So evidently, a mother in distress and the children, the disciples didn't think that was worth Jesus' time.
You know, so it's not surprising that what the disciples did, given their track record. What follows is a surprise, because Jesus twice answered negatively. First, he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And she gets on her knees and said, Lord, help me. Then Jesus again spoke, it's not right to take the children's bread, i.e. the bread of the children of God, the children of Israel, and toss it to the dogs, i.e. the Gentiles. This does surprise us, because we know that that isn't the nature of Jesus. He's not out to harm anyone. He doesn't exclude. He's open to anyone and everyone. And yet, here it is. Here's these verses. So we know there's more going on here than meets the eye. And indeed, there was. There's a lot of cultural background to this passage. I challenge you to go and read some about it, because it really is fascinating. And I think it was a year or so ago I preached a sermon on some of the cultural dynamics that are going on in this passage. But there's another surprise that goes on here, and that is the woman's response. Look at her response. She's not overwhelmed. She doesn't back down. She is quite feisty. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. This woman is not a woman you would want to get in verbal jousting with, just by the way. This is a woman that knew what she wanted. She wanted the master to help her daughter. And finally, Jesus brings this dialogue to a close when he looks at her and says, what faith? Maybe high-fived her, I don't know. What faith? What faith? Disciples, notice, what faith you have. Your daughter is healed. What you have asked has been granted. Unbelievable. I admire this woman and her unwillingness to give up. And I wonder, could it be that Jesus is trying to teach the disciples / us that he admires tenacious faith? The kind of faith that doesn't wither at first resistance. The kind of faith that says, Lord, I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep asking. You show me what you desire from me. This woman was not going to allow the common prejudice to keep her away from Jesus to get what she wanted for her daughter, what she needed for her daughter. Remember, this was a Canaanite woman. She was not a Jew. She was worthless. She was a nobody according to Jewish culture. But this woman knew the culture was wrong. She said, it doesn't make any sense. Just because where I was born does not give or take away my self-worth. And she was right. So what if you're born into wealth or poverty? So what if you're born in America or Botswana? So what if you have white skin or black skin or green skin or whatever? So what? We all share the same ancestral parents. Adam and Eve. So we're truly one family. Amen? We're one family. There is one race, people. It is the human race. There is one earth, and we're all part of it. And this woman knew that. She knew it, and she refused to give in to a lesser description of herself. Paul, the apostle Paul, said it so well. He said, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's no Jews, no Gentiles. There's no rich, there's no poor. There's no male, there's no female. Indeed, we are one in Jesus Christ. So this woman knew that, and she was not about to give up on her daughter. She was a good mama. Don't mess with mamas. That's the law of nature. She was fighting. She was fighting for what she wanted for her child. She wanted the best for her child. And I can relate to that. Not that I'm a woman, but I can fight for my child. We want what's best for our children. So we can identify with that. But there's another point that I don't identify at all with. You see, her persistence provided the remedy she sought. But what about some of us, all of us at some point, who persist, but yet we still don't get what we want or desire or think is best? I have to think about the account of Abraham. Abraham goes up on the mountain with Isaac. They go up on Mount Moriah, and he is ready to sacrifice his son. And at the last split second, God intervened and altered the circumstance. He said, don't do that. There's a ram caught in the bushes. Take the ram, sacrifice the ram instead. And with that, Abraham and Isaac, they come down from the mountain joyous. Skipping along. Good. All's good. The heir of promise, it's all intact, and we're good. But I can't help but think is this. What of us What if we come down from the mountain alone? Have you been there? When the things that you ask of God, believing that that's what was best, the circumstances don't change. Even when we're caring, even when we're persistent, the circumstances don't change, and we come down from the mountain alone. So, I have questions, and that's okay, God can handle that. I have questions, and I think Jesus' conversation with the Canaanite woman also leaves some unanswered questions. But in the end, Jesus points us in the direction we need to go. He shows us the way. I am not sure why Jesus went all about it the way he did in this story. I really don't know. Could it be that maybe he knew the heart of the woman, knew how she was going to respond, and thought, okay, here, you know, she's like lobbing up a softball, and Jesus, pow, disciples, notice. Notice. And when I say disciples, I'm not just talking about the 12. I'm talking about all of us. Notice this woman's faith. He applauds her faith. What great faith. And I wonder for us, maybe you're here this morning and you go, I've got stuff I've been praying for months, years, and it just doesn't seem like I'm getting answers. God knows that. You know that. He honors our faith. Maybe you're to the point where you're saying, God, I just can't go on anymore. I need to hear from you. Be honest with him. In the moments as we approach the table, it's a perfect time to be open with God, to pour your heart out to him and say, God, I need to hear from you. I think he honors that. I know he honors that. So as we participate in the Lord's Supper, I challenge you to open your heart to him. Let him examine your heart. Let him point the places in your heart that you need to completely surrender to him. And as we do that, I believe that he is faithful. I know he is faithful. Let's pray and ask him for his help. Gracious Father, as we come to your table now, we pray that we would be faithful, that we would open ourselves to you, completely surrender who we are. God, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the stories that are in Scripture of Jesus' interaction with people, because we learn so much about ourselves by reading how he interacted with others. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. As we partake, let me say a word about communion. We at College Park, we believe in open communion, which is for all believers. So whether you're a member of this church or not, we invite you to join with us in communion together. Just as the disciples had a lot of questions as they gathered in the upper room with Jesus, I know that as we come together as a body of faith, even on a Sunday, even on a day of worship, you may have a lot of questions in your mind. Be honest with the Father, but hear very clearly when Jesus said, "This was my body. It was broken for you. Take and eat." at that same meeting with the disciples, Jesus, after he broke the bread, says he took the cup and he said, "This is a new covenant in my blood." It was a new beginning, a new start, a fresh beginning. And maybe that's what you need this morning. I think maybe that's what all of us need. A new opportunity to prove our faithfulness. A new opportunity to serve our Lord faithfully. Take and drink. Scripture tells us that they sang a song and then they left from there. So before we leave from here, let's sing a song together. There's an opportunity for you here. If you are not a believer and would like to know more about Jesus and how to have a relationship with him, I'd love to talk with you about it. We're going to sing in just a moment and you can come and I'll be glad to share with you. Or you can call me this week. I'll be glad to meet with you and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, but maybe you've been struggling a little bit and would just like to, you know, share something or ask for prayer for a certain thing, I'd be glad to talk with you, pray with you. As prayer, you can come, certainly pray at the altar here with whatever your desire is in that regard. If you're here and you're a believer and you would like to be a member of College Park, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that public as we stand together and sing now. Remain standing. We're going to do a covenant with new believers. And I want to ask Keeley and Sydney if y'all would come on up, and Reese, if y'all would come on up. Since it is a covenant with new believers, I want to ask these young ladies to come stand by me here. If you'll take your order of service, this is a responsive reading, and I'll be reading the light print if you'll read the bold print. And you might, as you read through, this is a good opportunity, again, we say it so often, but it's a good opportunity to reaffirm your faith as you read together. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers for each other and these new believers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and when you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
And will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
These things we covenant together before God. Amen. To help them remember today, we have a couple things we want to give each of these young ladies. The first is a certificate of baptism. Reese, Keely, and Sydney. And second is a Bible, and parents, family, all of those that are interacting with them. I encourage you to challenge these young ladies. Ask them how their walk with the Lord is. Ask them if they're reading that spiffy little Bible that Raymond gave them on their baptism day. Will you all do that? Will you do that? Challenge them. Ask them how they're doing in their readings. And you've heard that. Yeah, they're going to be asking you how your journey is. So, and I challenge you as well. Encourage one another. As you leave from this place, come and encourage these young ladies and their families. And then encourage one another as we depart from here and go into the world, live as the body. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God, as we go now, help us to go in your spirit, by your strength, spreading your peace. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.